I'm looking for my 9-year-old that volunteered. There he is. Come on up, young man. And what's your name?
Lander.
Lander? What a cool name. I want him to stand here for just a moment. As Steve mentioned, I'm his younger brother, and hopefully I'm his favorite brother. Now, I don't see myself as a preacher, but more like a teacher. And I really wish I had a whiteboard. Those who are from here know that I like the whiteboard. So this is not a sermon. It's a lesson and an encouragement. Therefore, it is unlikely it will go 45 minutes, so woo, you can relax a little bit. Now, my lesson is on compassion and empathy. Now, DJ roped me into this by telling me he wanted me to do the lesson because us doty men are not known for being compassionate. Now, I heard amen. That startles me. But I don't know if DJ gave me the lesson to challenge me to prove I could do it, or over the last couple years, maybe he's seen something in me that made him think I may know something a little bit about compassion. So, young Lander here, is 9 years old.
All right.
Can everybody see him? Okay, I think they've seen. I just wanted you to be my visual example, and you've done a fine job. Thank you very much. Fine young man. But the reason why I had him come up here was some of you may have heard Steve talk about our younger days, when we spent 3 months in Wayne County Juvenile Detention Center and another 18 months at Star Commonwealth for Boys. I was 3 days past my 10th birthday when I began that journey. So that young individual that just left, that was me. Now, one of the first things I learned at Wayne County Juvenile Detention Center was that exhibiting weakness had bad consequences. No whining, no crying about your situation, as that would be like blood in the water to the sharks. And the sharks were not the adults. The sharks were the other young men in that facility. Now, if any of you saw bullying in high school, maybe you know what I'm talking about. Because it only takes one instance of showing weakness, and that would be your permanent reputation. And then it makes the row that you have to hoe a lot harder. Only toughness was respected and honored. And for the most part, 23 years in the Marine Corps reinforced that same principle. You could shed a tear in a manly way for the death of another Marine or a loved one, but sobbing or about getting a Dear John letter or being homesick was not approved of. And you probably wouldn't last very long in the Corps. They would find a way for you to exit. So why am I sharing all this? I want to highlight the point that no matter whatever your background was or your upbringing, the Christian characteristic of having empathy and compassion for others is attainable. Now, Jerry and I were just talking a moment ago, and when I first got out of the Corps back in 1995, I was all for building the stoning pit right out back, you know, just in case we needed one. But as Jerry pointed out, I'm a lot different now than I was back in 1995. Now, you have to learn what compassion and empathy is and how it's applied by learning through the scriptures and then having the faith to move out in action. Now, I know there are a lot of people that draw a line in the sand and say, nope, I ain't going there. I wasn't made that way. I am too old to change. Well, that's why I shared the details of my upbringing and my life. It is doable, but you have to have a much bigger picture of this life and where you fit into it. Now, I was a young gunnery sergeant, E7, when I came home on leave, and Steve shared the gospel with me. And then my new journey began on becoming an active duty Christian. Now, there were many things I had to learn, and often I find myself still learning, about Christian characteristics that went contrary to the Marine way of life. There were some who questioned, how can you possibly be a Marine and a Christian at the same time? It's like they don't go together. Well, neither compassion nor empathy are on the list of desired Marine traits. They were not included as items on my semi-annual performance evaluation, hence they were not needed. Now, the Oxford Dictionary says that compassion is the sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. Empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. So the difference between sympathy and empathy is sympathy, you can express concern for someone's pain or difficulty, but it doesn't necessarily involve feeling that emotion, but it can still lead to the desire to fix the problem. Empathy involves actively sharing in someone's emotional experience by trying to understand what they're feeling or putting yourself in their situation. Now, both compassion and empathy refer to a caring response of somebody in distress. Compassion adds a desire to alleviate the person's distress, and empathy refers to an active sharing in the emotional experience of another. So as disciples of Christ, active duty Christians, who are trying to emulate and take on the characteristics of Christ, do we need to understand compassion and empathy? Are there examples in the scripture regarding the demonstration of compassion by individuals, God, and Jesus? So now we're going to look at a couple of verses. Grab your Bibles. So one of the first examples is in Exodus chapter 2. You know, I've read over this many times, and it never really occurred to me that this was an important verse. But there's a lot to be learned from this. In Exodus chapter 2, we're going to read about 5 verses. Picking up in verse 5. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of water." Now we could easily assume she knew the edict of Pharaoh to destroy all the male Hebrew children. But she demonstrated compassion with her actions to save the child who could not save himself. Not just to save him that day, but to raise him as her own child. Now, she might have easily just as much said, "Oh, look, how sad. A poor Hebrew baby in a basket. So, so very sad." And then walked away. In 1 Kings chapter 3, We have the story of two women with children. One child died in the night, and his mother took the other woman's baby and said it was hers. They ended up before King Solomon to sort it out. He suggested that they cut the baby in half and give one part to each mom. The birth mom didn't think that was such a hot idea. In 1 Kings 3:26, it says, "Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son and said, 'Oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him.' But the other said, 'Let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him.'" The willingness to give up her child permanently to save his life was compassion in action. Now, all of us have the capacity for compassion, but often by our upbringing, we have suppressed that character trait. Maybe that's how we were taught by our parents, that we are the most important person on the face of the planet, or that compassion is only for family members. Whatever the reason, if you find that it has been suppressed, know this: it can be renewed by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working in you, but it will take a conscious effort, and it doesn't come automagically. Now, there are many examples in the Old Testament of God demonstrating compassion for his people and the nation of Israel, but for time's sake, let's fast forward to the New Testament and see the examples of Christ. In Matthew chapter 9, and I do want you to know that at 8:30 this morning, I was revising this thing again and again and again. Finally, I had to close it up because it just kept going. And I have a reputation for keeping my messages short, and I don't want to ruin that reputation. So in Matthew 9, we read of several examples of Jesus healing. The paralytic, Jairus' daughter, the woman who had the flow of blood for 12 years, the two blind men, the mute and demon-possessed man. And if that wasn't enough, it goes on to say in verses 35 through 38, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers out into his harvest.'" Could Jesus not have said, "Look at all that I am doing. I can't do any more"? Sure he could. But when he saw the multitudes, he had compassion and empathy for them. He saw them as they truly were, lost, and having no one to lead them or take care of them. He sought for a solution to meet their needs. Now, chapter 10 shows us the solution was found in his disciples. And I can only imagine what they learned and had seen from Jesus regarding compassion and empathy as they walked daily with him. As Jesus' ministry continues, they begin to see that it isn't just the Jewish people that receive his compassion, but Gentiles and Samaritans also. Don't forget, by their upbringing and their religious teaching, they were to remain separate and apart from the Gentiles. Yet Jesus is now showing compassion and empathy to all kinds of people. So I'm going to digress for just a moment. While putting together this encouragement, I had to stop and ask this question: is empathy required to show compassion? My initial reaction is no. I think a lot of people that hear of some sort of catastrophic situation can respond with some compassion. Maybe a tornado or a fire destroys somebody's home, and a GoFundMe page is posted. Some people can show compassion by sitting down and writing a check. Having an understanding of their emotional need is not required. However, I think the difference of having compassion and empathy is in the measure of your response. That is where empathy fits into this encouragement. Because if you've had a similar situation in your life where you lost your home due to a fire or a tornado, not only will you write a check, but you might jump in your car and drive over to their house and help with the cleanup because you know what they're going through. Now, there may be situations where you can show some compassion, but you don't have a point of reference to be empathetic. That's fine. That's okay. That's why we all have different life experiences. That's why I didn't see any of you at Wayne County Detention Juvenile Center tip in. I will share I was there first. Just because I got caught first. That's okay that we all have different life experiences because that makes you more useful to God. We can't all have the same life experiences and then be able to go out into a weird world with all kinds of crazy people and their problems and have compassion unless we were once crazy people and had crazy problems, right? Amen. Amen. I think I can safely say that everyone here has received compassion from God in some way, or you would not be here. And there's an important principle to be learned in Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to have to read a couple verses, so we're going to have to take a drink. Doesn't everybody do that?
No.
Little teacup, pinky out. Coffee cup, pinky out. That's just being There you go. So Matthew chapter 18, picking up in about verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he'd begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he'd called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry, delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." The short message: we've all been the recipient of compassion from God, and it's our job to show compassion to others. Even as the fellow servants were grieved and told their master all that had been done, they felt and understood what the ungrateful servant had done, and they did something about it. Compassion is not just for those who have done something to deserve it. The examples we have from Jesus indicate it was also for those he didn't even know. Matthew chapter 20, a couple verses, picking up in about verse 29. "Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Lord, our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Another example is over in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Pick up in verse 39. And he was teaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." In both of these examples, these men could not resolve their own issue. They knew Jesus had the solution. He recognized their helplessness and did something about it. Now, in your daily walk, you may see people who are in need and can't resolve the issue on their own. You can choose to ignore them or do something about it. Because compassion is not just a Christian attribute. Many worldly people put Christians to shame because they demonstrate compassion when Christians choose to walk by. Now, with Linda's health issues, for those of you who know my wife and her situation, I have seen kids, teenagers, young adults, and even biker types go out of their way, almost knock me down, to get the door open for Linda and I as we go into a restaurant. Or into a store, more likely. You know them stores where the doors don't automatically open? There's a few of them left. They see a situation that they can do something about and they want to lend a helping hand. We are strangers to them. They don't know us. And they do it without expectation of reward, except maybe an acknowledgement or a thank you from us. I have one more scriptural example of compassion I want to share, and it's in Luke. Luke chapter 10. And this goes to, is the example where worldly people can show compassion better than religious people of Jesus' time. Picking up in Luke about verse 30, let's go. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you.'" And Jesus asked the question, "So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" I don't have to answer that. You know it. Go and do likewise. When you have an opportunity to help someone in need, try putting yourself in their situation and then respond from the heart. For me personally, my childhood and my young adult years trained me not to have compassion as it was a sign of weakness. Through the power of Christ and the Spirit of God within me, that has changed. Really? I have learned to show compassion and empathy for even those who have persecuted me and despitefully used me. And I didn't show compassion to them because of who they are, but because Jesus gave me examples to understand and apply. As I did so, my understanding grew. And my appreciation for all that has been done for me grew. And my heart of stone was taken away. and I was given a new heart of flesh. Learning to show compassion and empathy doesn't come with a list of compassionate tasks to be accomplished. It's not a checklist. Gotta take a break. Frogs. I didn't know there was frogs out here. Oops, sorry. Frogs don't like coffee most of the time. One more swallow. So, learning to show compassion and empathy doesn't come with a checklist of things that you do that says, oh, that was compassionate, good for you. Such as helping little old ladies cross the street, holding the door open for those who are struggling, or even picking up a crying baby to provide comfort. Now, I never would have believed my brother Steve was capable of that particular act. But I have seen pictures of him overseas holding babies. It stuns me.
What happens overseas?
He's overseas. Exactly. Because I've never seen him do it here in the States. Mm. Because compassion comes from the heart, and it comes from having a bigger picture about this life that we are living. This bigger picture comes from the many examples of compassion shown by God and Jesus to the people on the earth. It also comes from us dropping the worldly mindset of what is right and reasonable to do, and then going the extra mile, going farther than what people would expect you to do, going over that line in the sand. It comes from opening our hearts and our minds to the feelings of others and trying to understand what they are going through. Having empathy for those who cannot help themselves and doing whatever is required to provide relief. Compassion is the sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings and misfortunes of others. It includes, there's that frog, it includes a desire to alleviate the person's distress. Empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of an other. This is a medicinal timeout. Pinky. It's going to take a little extra effort on your part to try and understand what they're going through. Try to put yourself in their position. And then when you see how helpless they are, then it's much easier for you to cross that line that you said you would never cross over. Now I'm talking mainly to the guys. Now, when my kids were young, I changed a lot of diapers. I was pretty involved in the kids' upbringing. You know how guys get them skull marks in their back pocket? I had bottle marks in my jeans because I was pretty involved in the kids' upbringing. It's a lot different when you have an adult that needs that kind of help. You think, oh, I don't think I could do that. Oh, yes, you can. All you got to do is see how helpless they are, and it all just becomes much easier to do. I am pretty confident. I want you to pay attention to these closing remarks, because it does seem like I'm asking you just to go out everywhere you see somebody that's having an issue, stop what you're doing and take care of them. And that's not exactly what I'm saying. I am pretty confident you will not have to go out into the streets and the alleys to find people who are in need of compassion and empathy. When you start opening up your heart and mind to other people's issues, dropping your issues and being more worried about them, you may find all you can handle in your own household. And if not, maybe within your church. And if you still have more capacity, I am positive that God will cross your path with somebody who has need that you can meet. Maybe the biggest challenge to overcome is to stop seeing people with normal human eyes and getting the much bigger picture of this life and seeing people as God and Jesus sees them, like sheep, having no shepherd, lost and helpless. We don't have any problem understanding how helpless a newborn baby is. Can we apply that understanding to those who are outside of Christ? Because they are just as helpless. The problem is just different. They're separated from God, and life is a kick in the teeth. I don't mean I want you to walk up and give a pacifier to somebody who's struggling, who's an adult. But look at them differently. Understand they can't help themselves. They are lost and without a shepherd. They are going to be separated from God for eternity. And it's up to you and I to do something about that. Remember that God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for even the active duty sinners, which includes all of us. So as you grow in your faith, your heart should open wide, and you will find yourself with a new compassion and empathy for others. If not, ask yourself if maybe you have not drawn a line in the sand as to how far you will go. If you have, erase that line and try again. As a caregiver, I've had the opportunity to erase a whole lot of lines that I thought I would never cross. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20 that it was no longer he who lived, but Christ lived in him. And as we grow in our faith and draw closer to that understanding, it will not be a question of how much it costs us to be compassionate and empathetic, but it will be a question of what else can I do? Remember, God does not have limits on his compassion, and he expects us, his children, to be like him. Thank you for your attention.